In this way, wage earners are made sharers in some sort in the ownership or the management or the profits. In estimating a just wage, not one consideration alone, but many must be taken into account, according to the wise words of Leo XIII. Before deciding whether wages are fair, many things have to be considered. The obvious truth is that in labor, especially hired labor, as in ownership, there is a social as well as a personal or individual aspect to be considered. From this double aspect, follow important conclusions for the regulation and fixing of wages. In the first place, the wage paid to the working man must be sufficient for the support of himself and his family. It is right, indeed, that the rest of the family contribute according to their power towards the common maintenance, as in the rural home, or in the families of many artisans and small shopkeepers. But it is wrong to abuse the tender years of children or the weakness of woman. Every effort must therefore be made that fathers of families receive a wage sufficient to meet adequately ordinary domestic needs. If, in the present state of society, this is not always feasible, social justice demands that reforms be introduced without delay which will guarantee every adult working man just such a wage. The condition of any particular business and of its owner must also come into question in settling the scale of wages, for it is unjust to demand wages so high that an employer cannot pay them without ruin and without consequent distress amongst the working people themselves. Finally, the wage scale must be regulated with a view to the economic welfare of the whole people. All are aware that a scale of wages too low, no less than a scale excessively high, causes unemployment. The observance of Catholic holidays. Pope Leo XIII writes, quote, "If owners of property should be made secure, the working man in like manner has property and belongings in respect to which he should be protected, and foremost of all, his soul and his mind. Life on earth, however good and desirable in itself, is not the final purpose for which man is created. It is only the way and the means to that attainment of truth and that practice of goodness in which the full life of the soul consists. No man may with impunity outrage that dignity which God himself treats with reverence, nor stand in the way of that higher life which is the preparation for the eternal life of heaven. Nay, more, no man has in this matter power over himself to consent to any treatment which is calculated to defeat the end and purpose of his being is beyond his right. He cannot give up his soul to servitude, for it is not man's own rights which are here in question, but the rights of God, the most sacred and inviolable of rights. From this follows the obligation of the cessation from work and labor on Sundays and certain holy days. The rest from labor is not to be understood as mere giving away to idleness. Much less must it be an occasion for spending money and for vicious indulgence, as many would have it to be. But it should be rest from labors hallowed by religion. Rest, combined with religious observances, disposes man to forget for a while the business of his everyday life, to turn his thoughts to things heavenly, and to worship which he so strictly owes to the eternal Godhead. It is this above all which is the reason and motive of Sunday rest." End of quote. Protestantism attacks the holy days of the Catholic Church. The uprise of the Judeo-Calvinistic spirit meant the triumph of a mentality completely opposed to that which freed men from toil on certain days in order to allow their souls to breathe a supernatural atmosphere of otherworldliness. A reaction came later on when an unwilling tribute was paid to the practical sanity of the Catholic Church by the introduction of bank holidays. The very name is significant. The power of finance condescends to allow its bond slaves to taste a pagan respite from work. Should there not be a further reaction towards the sanctification of the Catholic holy days and their substitution for the bank holidays, which are characteristic of the age when men existed for production and production was dominated by money? Could not, for example, the Feast of the Assumption be substituted for the August bank holiday? The role of the state in social reconstruction. A few passages from the encyclical Quadragesimo Anno will serve to give an idea of the role of a state in the reconstruction of the social order. According to Pope Pius XI, quote, "What we have written thus far regarding a right distribution of property and a just scale of wages is concerned directly with the individual and deals only indirectly with the social order. When we speak of the reform of the social order, it is principally the state we have in mind. Not indeed that all salvation is to be hoped from its intervention, but because on account of the evil of individualism, as we call it, things have come to such a pass that the highly developed social life, which once flourished in a variety of prosperous institutions organically linked with each other, has been damaged and all but ruined, leaving thus virtually only individuals and the state." Accordingly, the Sovereign Pontiff sums up the remedies briefly as follows, quote, "The principles of right reason and Christian social philosophy regarding capital, labor, and their mutual cooperation must be accepted in theory and reduced to practice. In the first place, due consideration must be had for the double character, individual and social, of capital and labor, in order that the dangers of individualism and of collectivism be avoided. The mutual relations between capital and labor must be determined according to the laws of the strictest justice, called communitative justice, supported, however, by Christian charity. To that end, all the institutions of public and social life must be imbued with the spirit of justice, and this justice must, above all, be truly operative, must build up a juridical and social order able to pervade all economic activity. Social charity should be, as it were, the soul of this order, and the duty of the state will be to protect and defend it effectively." End of quote.